Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Apologies for the late arrival here. Had some scheduling mishaps. Not my fault. I was here. But we had some scheduling mishaps, and we'll get past it. 12-game baseball slate today. Finally, a good-sized slate. Matt Bellman and I can do a strategy show. None of this live before lock. Three game. Well, we had five yesterday, got trimmed down to three games during the show. 12 games today, dude. Even if you have a postponement or two, it's a large slate, lot to get into. What's going on, brother?
Nothing, man. I caught some of your show yesterday. Thought you made some great points about, like, if it was Strider who was getting all the love, you wouldn't just want to like load up against him, but it was John Gray. So just a completely different slate yesterday than we're going to be dealing with tonight. But yeah, man, I'm happy we finally got a full slate. It doesn't look like there's that many weather spots either.
No, I saw Cleveland and Baltimore, but I don't, last I looked, I'm not sure there's anything that's catastrophic, you know, like where these guys, where these games are definitely going to get rained out. Let's see. Like, yeah, Philly is going to be fine. I know we're going to be fine. I think Cleveland and New York could be one. Very windy.
Yeah, I think that's the only one. I think that's the game that, as of right now, I would say probably doesn't play, but everything else is not even an issue.
Agreed. A lot of winds, too. That's a wild game with that weather out there. But aside from that, I think we're good. Happy to have you guys with us. Take a single second. Again, please forgive us for the late arrival. But in doing so, hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment down below. If you're listening or watching after the fact, goes a long way. We appreciate you for it. And in podcast form, all of our stuff is out there. You want to listen to this show in podcast form? You're driving or something. You don't have YouTube Premium. You can't close your phone. You know, you want to avoid some days. I know ads can be crazy on YouTube, even if you're watching live. Check it out. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you listen. We're out there. It'll be uploaded shortly after we go live. So, yeah. Anyway. Matt, let's get into it. There's some spots we're definitely not going to be spending a ton of time on. I can say that with relative certainty here. Certain teams are just not going to want to target. But there are other spots that I'm going to ask, like Kevin Gausman velocity last game, because a 3.3 run implied total for Colorado. We'll get to that game second. But a few teams with very low totals today that will probably just be fading entirely. I think some of these games we get through pretty quickly. But let's start it off with Milwaukee and Baltimore. Freddie Peralta, Tyler Wells. So, again, could there be some weather in this spot? Yeah, but it should be okay. 4.5 run implied total for Baltimore, 4.2 for Milwaukee. Looking at the top stacks tool, though, and it is updated for those of you who are with us over there on Stochastic, Baltimore, 2.5% top stack probability against Freddie Peralta. And then Milwaukee's at 3.8%. No real leverage in either of these spots today. No real ownership going to these teams either.
Yeah, so I think the first thing about this game is probably Peralta. But as far as the hitting goes, I don't love either spot. Baltimore is one of these teams that's always going to be in play for me because of how good they are. And then Milwaukee's facing a worse pitcher. You know, doesn't seem like the best spot as far as weather goes, except for there is wind blowing out, so that's nice to see. I don't like either of these teams as a stack, but one of my favorite one-off hitters on the entire slate is in this game. It's going to be Colton Cowser for the Orioles. I think he's like 2,500. He was absolutely destroying the minor leagues before he got called up. Two home runs last night. He's been in double-digit DK points all three games, I think, since he's been called up. And I'm not playing him because of that, but he's good. He's too cheap. And I really like him as a cheap one-off with expensive pitching, like all over.
Yeah. Aside from that, is this more of just a one-off spot for you today then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about Peralta? I mean, we know that the guy clearly has killer strikeout upside. It's not the best matchup by any stretch. You know, Baltimore right now sitting with a 4.5 run implied total. But Peralta's one of those guys where, like, let's say ownership on him isn't crazy. And it's at 18%. So he is up there. Looking at the highest owned pitchers in the top pitchers tool, he's top four. He's up there with Gausman, Reed Detmers, Max Fried. So yeah, he is up there for sure. And that's strictly not because of the matchup, but because the guy has some of the more elite strikeout stuff in baseball. 35% K rate to start the season. Last year in 30 starts, he had a 31% strikeout rate. It's there across the board, 14% swinging strike rate, just great numbers everywhere. And the price point sitting at 9,300 isn't prohibitive to the point where you can't target Freddie Peralta today.
Definitely not prohibitive. It's just a matchup for me. Like, I certainly understand it. I think he's in that short list of good options. But those other guys you mentioned, I do like two of them more. I think I like him slightly more than Detmers, but we could quibble about that, you know, when we get to him. Peralta's certainly in play. I hate picking on this Baltimore team on a full slate like this. We've got pitchers in much better spots, even though Peralta is, you know, one of, if not the highest strikeout upside guy on the slate. He's in play because of that, but not close to a must for me or my favorite pitcher because of the matchup.
Any interest in Tyler Wells against Milwaukee?
Nah, I just think it's too thin on tonight's slate. I don't love the matchup either. Milwaukee's been really good to start the season. I'm not completely buying that, but they've added some pieces to their lineup. I wrote about them a couple days ago. Jackson Churio looks really good. Rhys Hoskins has filled a nice void. Bryce Terang leads the league in stolen bases. So not household names, but this lineup's a little bit better than it was last year. Wells has been okay. I just think it's too thin. So not really for me.
Colorado and Toronto. Colorado 3.3 run implied total. Toronto 4.9. Ryan Feltner, Kevin Gausman. Gausman, highest owned pitcher on the slate. We do have him 21% top two pitcher probability on DraftKings, looking at the top pitcher tool. Look, it's objectively a fantastic matchup. There's no denying that. The question now just becomes, do you have any concerns about his velocity? And for what it's worth, there's been several seasons, and I remember this distinctly going back years ago, where Gausman's velocity to start the year was down, and then it ticked back up, and everyone was like, oh, okay. Even last year, his velocity was down to start the season, came back up, he was fine. Now, he got crushed against the Yankees, didn't have a single strikeout in that game, only got through, what, an inning, one and a third innings? So none of that was great. Man, if there were ever a get-right spot, this is it today against Colorado. I will say, though, like last game, his last game swinging strike rate was absolutely in the basement. How worried are you about the velocity? If you're not worried about the velocity, Gausman has to be your top, if not your top three, if not top overall pitcher on this slate in the best matchup around.
I'm worried about the velocity, and he's still my top guy. So I think that's in tribute to the slate. Also, my confidence in Gausman, like you talked about, this isn't a one-time thing for him starting out the year a little bit, you know, under what he usually is. He only made one spring training start. He was late to start spring. So this is now his third start. I don't like Gausman as much as I would like in the middle of the season. I don't think he's going to throw 100 pitches here. It's a matchup thing for me, though. This Rockies offense, especially on the road, is just atrocious. And I'm looking at the other options. Detmers in Boston, the team he just faced with huge wins blowing out. Talked about Peralta. I like Fried. You got to use two pitchers, though. I just think this spot is too good to pass up. Again, I don't think he's like a must because there are serious concerns there. I'm of the belief that he'll work through that stuff, though. And as you mentioned, this is just as good of a get-right spot as you can get.
For what it's worth, you know, if you use Vegas to kind of guide your thinking and your process, Kevin Gausman still has a 7.5 strikeout prop. 7.5. On Pinnacle, over 7.5 is plus 119, but still plus 104 on FanDuel. Just looking at some of these other spots, but still 7.5 K prop and, you know, 3.3 run implied total when it comes to the Colorado Rockies. So if you're looking at that, you just, there seems to be less concern there than some maybe with the velocity. I'm with you. I think you just take your chances here. Plus, even if his velocity is down a tick, it's still Colorado. He's a great, great pitching option today. Also, $10,000, it's not even that crazy of a price point at all.
Not even a little bit.
$10,000 on FanDuel and DraftKings, by the way. Not getting much ownership on FanDuel.
And I'll say this, though. My hot take from this game, I'm sure I'm going to be completely on an island here. I have slight interest in Feltner at 5,600.
Well, talk to me.
So a lot of it's a price thing. He's the cheapest starting pitcher on the slate. He's coming off a dominant performance against Tampa. And again, I'm not using him or thinking about using him because of that. It's good to see, though. He was filthy in the spring. His last two starts were especially good. I think there might be something here. I think it's really risky and wouldn't be surprised at all if Toronto just blasts him. But I do think there is something here. And I think his arm is better than 5,600, not in cores, facing a righty-heavy Toronto lineup. Like, I get it. There's a ton of blow-up potential here, Toronto stacks, blah, blah, blah. But at this price point, I think he's a little bit too cheap for what he's showed so far.
Okay. I mean, I get it. The swinging strike rate 16% to start the season. How sustainable is that? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine at this point, but I get what you're saying. He's dirt cheap. First start was brutal against Arizona, right? But second one goes out against a good Tampa Bay team, racks up 10 strikeouts and 6 one-run innings. He is missing a lot of bats.
And even the Arizona one, like, wasn't even, I mean, it wasn't good, but he went 5 innings, 3 earned runs, like, walked a couple, struck out a few. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Arizona too. So
yeah, 5 runs, 3 were earned. Yeah, you're right. Sure. Yeah.
And again, I know that there's major risk here, but I think it's also a testament to how I feel about pitching on this entire slate. I like Gausman a lot, but he doesn't come with no risks. And then we've talked about Peralta, Detmers, Max Fried has not been good this year. You know, Paul Blackburn against Washington. I don't love pitching on this slate. So Feltner is appealing to me. Maybe nothing more than that, but we'll see as the day goes on.
Any bats you want to touch on here? Like, are you getting the Toronto bats against Feltner?
I think they're in play, but they're coming in a little bit over-owned. And there's just so many other spots that I like more. So probably not, actually, definitely not for me as of right now. Like, I respect Feltner more than this. The ownership's already there. Not for me.
Even if Gausman's velocity is down, by the way, even if this is a problem, I still don't see going to Colorado being the answer there. You know, it's to me, there's still just not enough. Even if Gausman's velocity is down, I think you can find better leverage spots that we don't need to go to Colorado. You look at Atlanta and Miami. Miami has a 3.7 total against Max Fried. Trevor Rogers going for the Marlins. In our top stacks tool right now, Atlanta, second highest top stack probability behind Cincinnati. They're facing Chris Flexen. Like, that's
with
a spot.
Major wins blowing out.
Yes. Yeah, that's a spot right there. And we'll get there. But Atlanta, the problem you're going to run into with Atlanta is the value score on this team is always going to be extraordinarily low. Like, we have top value under 1% in the top stacks tool right now. That's never going to be encouraging. These guys are expensive, you know, from Acuna, Olsen, Albies, Riley, all of them $5,400 and up today, Matt. So maybe Feltner is your way of getting to some Atlanta stacks here against Trevor Rogers.
The only team with a lower top value percentage is, oddly enough, Colorado, which is wild. It's not even that Colorado's as expensive as Atlanta. It's just they're projected for so much less production, and they're also kind of expensive. Atlanta is one of those true, I don't want to say spend up to be contrarian, because they're getting a little bit of love, but not an overwhelming amount at all. Like, Cincinnati's much easier to get to. I think they end up getting more love. The Angels right now look like they're a lot easier to get to. There's just a bunch of other teams on this slate. I don't know if Atlanta is a full priority for me, but they're always in play, especially against a lefty. You don't love the ballpark, but there's certainly no weather concerns here. And I respect Rogers as a pitcher, but not enough where I'm going to say that I'm not interested in the Braves against him. Not my favorite stack on the board, but wildly in play.
Jordan, have we always had ads on these live streams? I remember it happening for a while. For some reason, I thought we didn't. You did. You removed them? Well, I assume they're back. People are mentioning that I saw last show we did a couple days ago. People are saying there were ads on the live stream as well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if someone accidentally turned them back on or something, but if you can get rid of those. You mentioned that Max Fried hasn't been particularly good to start the year, Matt. Is this a spot where, one, you look to go to Miami, you play Fried for a bounce back against the Marlins team with a low total, or do you kind of just fade this spot? And for what it's worth, you know, against Philadelphia, not easy, not an easy start. He walked three, gave up three earned in less than an inning. And then against Arizona, got pummeled by the D-backs. Two tough matchups, but are you off of Fried right now?
I'm not. I don't love it, but just considering the other options.
Yeah.
He obviously hasn't been great. He got BABIP to death from his last start. And again, Arizona is much better than Miami. He's still fully stretched out what he threw. 97 pitches in that last outing. So, yeah, if he's going good here, I expect obviously no limitations. I'm just a huge Fried guy in general, and I just don't see two other options that are so much better than him, or he wouldn't at least be high on the short list. That doesn't mean I think he's a must or anything like that, but our top pitcher tool kind of says it all. Despite his sluggish start, he's still fourth there. We've seen a price decrease, so now he's cheaper than guys like Bryce Miller, certainly Freddy Peralta. I'm going to buy the dip on Fried. I know there's some risk, but I like him quite a bit here.
I do too. And look, it's in a favorable park for pitchers. There's nothing all that imposing about this Miami team. Are they the highest strikeout team out there? No, but we still have Fried profiling nicely, right? Like do we have some negative leverage? Yes, but third highest top two pitcher probability. He is getting around 20% ownership here. But for it being as big of a slate as it is, there's some rough pitching here as well. Like Flexen against Cincinnati, Carrasco against the Yankees, Rogers against Atlanta. Some of these guys towards the bottom, how do you get? That's why when you mentioned Feltner, I don't think you're crazy at all for considering that. He's one of the highest value options that we have. There's some rough pitch. Like, do you want to go to Dane Dunning in Houston? You know, there's some really ugly spots today, despite having so many pitchers on the bump.
Yeah, there's a lot of just meh options. And then the top options aren't like the elite of the elites. They all have question marks. So there's just nothing that you're going to feel like overly comfortable with. Like a guy like Yamamoto, he certainly stands out from a tournament perspective, but he's really expensive in a tough matchup. Just a lot of stuff like that on this slate.
Yeah. I mean, this next game, you have Michael Wacha, Luis Severino. Severino's pulling considerable ownership right now against this Kansas City team. Man, Kansas City absolutely lit up Hunter Brown yesterday. That was insane. We were on a call discussing and looking down, and Josh is like, Josh is watching this. I'm paying attention. All of it. 9 runs in 2/3 innings for Hunter Brown. Brutal.
Having Mets stacks with Hunter Brown was pain.
That's what Josh was lamenting as well. But the Mets went for 16. Maybe they're waking up. They got off to an incredibly sluggish start to open the year. Severino's pretty popular, though. Waka's pulling about 6% ownership. He's never a particularly inspiring play. But what do you make of Severino with his new squad?
I've been kind of high on Severino to start the season. He looked good in spring. He was not great in his first start, but some of the underlying metrics were pretty solid. And then he came through in a big way against Cincinnati his last time out. I don't think he's the safest guy in the world here, clearly, because we don't know who he is right now, but he's too cheap considering the other options around him. Like right now, he shouldn't be $1,000 less than Brandon Pfaadt and Tyler Wells and Paul Blackburn. It's like he's right with those guys as far as our top pitcher tool. And he's $1,000 cheaper. So I get the ownership. Hard to love it, but I get it. This Royals offense, I don't know what to make of it. I certainly think they're better than last year. I don't think this is an offense that I want to go out of my way to pick on, which it looks like the field is doing. Certainly not scared of them. I think they're like looking at this matchup maybe a little bit juicier than it actually is, though.
Have you seen anything in Wacha to suggest that, you know, his 30% strikeout rate is sustainable. I mean, I'll tell you out of the gate, it's not. He faced the White Sox last game. That'll bolster anybody's totals. I didn't see anything that would significantly suggest that he's different than he was. And that isn't to say that Waka's a terrible pitcher, right? And he's fine. But this is not the Chicago White Sox either.
No, it's not. I mean, the Mets aren't great, but they don't strike out a ton. Like, opposite of Severino, I think Waka's overpriced here. I think they should be closer in price. Maybe Waka higher 7Ks, Severino lower 7Ks. There just shouldn't be a 2K difference between them. I don't hate Waka because of the other options, but not on the top, not on like that first list of guys for me.
Severino at 6,800 is really just a guy that's going to pull a lot of love in that price range.
Because there's no one else.
Yeah. And then also, you have Feltner down there at 5,600. What do you make of the fact that Jake Irvin is pulling 16% ownership? He's 5,200 against Oakland.
I was literally just looking at that, about to bring that up. So I'm glad you said it. I know I'm kind of, you know, a broken record here. I don't love it because it's Jake Irvin. He's not good, but I get it. I mean, he's in a great pitcher's park against Oakland. He's 5,200. I love the idea of pivoting to Feltner there in tournaments, but I think Irvin's a hell of a lot safer just because of the ballpark and the matchup.
Do you want to get to bats in this game?
Not really. I think it's kind of just a Manny special all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah, even though the Mets are coming off that, 16-run explosion,
I mean,
Waka's still not terrible.
Guys like Bobby Witt, Lindor, Alonso, they're always in play, but like full stacking, probably not where I want to go here.
Yankees in Cleveland. So, all right, the weather in this game is kind of wild. Because even if it doesn't happen to be one of these spots where you are getting rained out, it looks like there's going to be a lot of wind and it's going to be cold. And I don't know. If I had to guess right now, I don't think this game plays.
Yeah, same. So I think we can kind of just move past it pretty quickly unless you have any hot takes. My take on this game is if it does play or if weather wasn't an issue, I love the Yankees here. Carrasco's been a little bit better this year than he had been, but I'm not buying it. The Yankees have a ton of power upside. Carrasco's not good. I love the Yankees if this game plays, but I don't expect it to.
I'm with you. I wouldn't see myself getting the Schmidt. I don't want to get the Cleveland bats, but if it somehow plays, Yankees. The only issue here, though, is even if it does happen to play, this is – like, it feels like pretty inclement weather, even if it's not heavy precipitation with winds. And I'd have to see where the wind's blowing. But the just for like cold temperatures, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, dude, sustained 30 mph. There's no way this game plays.
Nah, it's awful here. I know, like, I don't want to be like the weather home weatherman, but I'm like half hour away from downtown and it is just shit here. It's gray. It's rainy. It's awful here.
Yeah. If you're sustained 30 mph winds and 40-degree temps, I
don't want to play them anyways. Even if it plays like in those conditions, I don't want to play the Yankees. Like, even though I like the spot they're in, if this game somehow does play, I just probably wouldn't play anything from it.
Big Kappa. I thought ads during the live streams get you more money though. Yeah, it's insignificant. It's not significant enough to the point where we'd want to fuck up your guys' viewing experience to make a couple dollars or whatever it might be on ads. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, if we were getting like $1,000 a show per ad, you guys might have to suffer. But no, that's not the case at all. It's not to the point where we'd want you guys to be like, dude, why are there ads? It doesn't make any sense. Angels in Boston. Reed Detmers, Tanner Houck. All right, so here's a fun spot. Both teams have totals north of 5.5, by the way. But you do have upside in both of these guys. Was it Tanner Houck when you and I had talked about this last time? It might have been an early slate where you and I discussed it. I can't remember. No, it wasn't, actually. It was a later slate. His first start of the season against Oakland, racked up 10 strikeouts, 6 scoreless. Then he went out against the Angels, six scoreless with seven strikeouts. Purely dominant start to the season for Tanner Houck.
Yeah, he has been phenomenal to start the season. This spot is one of the biggest question marks on the entire slate for me on all sides. These pitchers are two of the top pitchers on the slate. Our top pitcher tool lays that out beautifully. It's a bad weather spot as far as pitching goes. And I know it's been proven that it doesn't really make a difference. I hate when pitchers, especially this early in the season, are facing the same offense they just faced. That's probably in my head. So I'm not like going to action that tonight, but it is in my head. Man, the weather is the big thing for me, though, why I'm surprised that Detmers ranks so high in our tools.
What do you mean?
Like big winds blowing out. Winds out to left at 20 miles an hour. I guess that's not going to be enough to change that just because of his strikeout upside. I know Detmers is too cheap. 8,300. He's coming off a fantastic start against the same team. I don't know. I don't feel great about it. I don't feel as good as the tools do. I don't like the spot as much as I think other people do. I have no problem with the ownership, and I'd have no problem playing him. I think I just like Gausman, Fried slightly more in better matchups.
Yeah, you know what? I think to your point, the strikeouts aren't going to be really affected by that. But this game having a – what's the total on this? Nine with Detmers and Hout probably would be lower if wind wasn't blowing out. And, of course, it's not Wrigley Field. I understand all of that. But, yeah, and it's not – I don't think it's particularly cold in Boston either, right?
No, I don't think so either. And, again, two really good pitchers, so – I don't think that that the wind and all that is everything, but it is a high total for these two guys. Personally, I like Houck more than I like Detmers. I just like the matchup a lot more. I don't love him either, though. I don't love the matchup. Mike Trout has been on fire to start the season, so that adds, obviously, another element to the Angels lineup. If I had to choose, I'd go Houck over Detmers. I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop on both these guys, if that makes sense.
I get it. Look, if there's one thing you can say about Detmers, though, and this is a guy that, you know, has at times definitely struggled to go deep into games. He's not the most efficient pitcher in the world, but the strikeout stuff there is really good. And, you know, 45% strikeout rate to start the season, 26% last year. We know that's there. If he's just getting a ton of swings and misses, you might be able to negate that weather, even if you give up a solo shot or two. So I think this is really a pick your poison type of spot. Like if you're genuinely concerned about the weather and some of this wind, do you start looking towards bats from either side of these games? Right? Like does that become a play for you? Neither Houck or Detmers are big, you know, big guys when it comes to giving up power, but they can get tagged a time or two.
Yeah, especially Detmers, as you mentioned, he's been inconsistent in his career, especially, you know, being able to just stay in games because of his propensity to throw a ton of pitches. I don't love either of the offenses, but I do have some interest in Boston just because of everything we just said. Who knows if they'll have Devers back in their lineup. This is a lineup all of a sudden with power and speed, especially with a guy like Tyler O'Neill who does both in the middle of the lineup. So I don't like love this team as a stack, but if I were multi-entering, I'd probably be over the field on them. That said, I could just be too low on Detmers. Like, that's a very real plausibility here.
Well, you know, sometimes you can have both. We don't actually have Boston profiling all that well in the top stacks tool. I thought they might be a little bit higher here. Apparently not. Angels even lower, though. So it is pitching on both sides of this that's getting the ownership, right? Tanner Houck, 15%. Reed Detmers, 21%. Maybe there is an argument to be made about getting to some bats in this game.
And we have the Angels actually high in our top stack tool.
Do we? Let me see. Maybe I read it wrong.
Fifth overall.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I was looking at top value. Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. I mean, essentially tied for second, not far behind the Yankees.
See, this is a team I really like getting to in tournaments because when you look at it, they stand out. It's like, how the hell are the Angels up there? And they're not going to be owned because people aren't going to want to play them. They're not overly expensive, but they're not cheap either. So I don't love the matchup, but kind of like I was talking about before the show, like with PGA, if I knew nothing about baseball and I was just looking at the tools, the Angels would stand out.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the way to win.
A lot of times.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes that's help. So you just, like, I do it. So many of our users do it too with our Sims or lineup generator for sports they don't know. You were just telling me you use the lineup generator for PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Before, now granted, it's still super early, but like use the lineup generator for PGA, not knowing a thing about it because you had some free tickets to the Millie. And, you know, going to bed last night, you were sitting third place in the Millie. Now, does it hold? Likely not. But it allows you to make lineups far better than you'd ever make by yourself. Not just for sports you don't know, but for sports you know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people sometimes, like, I don't want to say know too much, but think they know too much. Go ahead.
Yeah. I talked about this with something for sports betting the other day. It was a video that I did on the Odd Shopper channel and, like, things to avoid, essentially. And one of them was, don't think that just because you know more about sports than your buddies when you're at the bar, that you're just going to come in and immediately be good at sports betting. Matter of fact, thinking you know more than the books and thinking you know is just an immediate recipe for disaster. And you see it with DFS too. But then you see people come in, like with the lineup generator for MLB, I think the reason so many people have had such success with it, you know, playing low stakes, mid stakes, whatever it is because they go, you know what? I'm going to actually trust the tool and I'm going to go into this. I'm going to use it to the best of my abilities, understanding that you're looking for something to be not like wildly contrarian, but you don't want it to be super chalky. You can see how chalky each lineup is. You want to see the optimal projection to be as close to that as possible. And then save the ones you want, upload them to CSV and you're on your way. You can set your stack types and all of that. You can set, you know, if you want like balanced lineups, all lineups, chalky, contrarian, swap players if you want, although I wouldn't recommend it because we're only serving up good lineups. But you see that often where people go, look, it's not a sport I know, but it's in the summer, Matt. I don't have baseball. I don't have football or basketball. I'm going to play baseball and end up having a lot of success just because you're, I don't want to say blindly trusting the tools. But with a sport where people are so sharp now, there's baseball, sometimes you should just blindly trust the tools.
Yeah, it's a balance. There's a lot of nuance that goes into it. I personally feel like if you're going all the way one way, it's definitely better to go with the tools.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean you can't make tweaks, swap players, sure, or like do ROI boost in the Sims. But the one thing you never want to do is look at something and go, man, I'll never stack that team. Even though it's profiling is like the best leverage stack on the slate. That's how you just lose your ass. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we can keep going. Links to everything too in the description and in the chat. Lineup generator, Sims, a week, a month, whatever you guys want to do. Even if you just want the tools, top stacks, data, Discord, we got something for everyone. And if you ever have questions, hit me up. DMs are open. We got great tutorials out there too. Looking at Cincinnati and Chicago, the Reds against dude, I have like five, I think, Cincinnati homer props that popped up this morning in the Odd Shopper market based tool, just wildly different from the rest of the market over on FanDuel, going up against Flexen, 5.2 run total. This guy has legitimate homer problems. He cannot strike anybody out. He's not an extreme ground ball pitcher to even mitigate all of that. It's baseball. Could Cincinnati just suck today? Sure. But it is objectively a really good matchup.
Yeah, I think they look like the top stack on the board. They are the top stack in our tools. Ownership is right in line with their top stack percentage. So, yeah, they're the highest owned team on the slate, but only 10%. Plenty of ways to get different within the lineup, going to the bottom of it, so on and so forth. They look really good here. Another team with big power and speed upside. So, they're on the short list for sure. If I were making one lineup in like single entry right now, Stack and Cincy would be highly, highly plausible.
Yeah. The question.
Flexen sucks.
What's that?
Flexen sucks.
Stinks, dude. I'm surprised he's still a starter.
Same.
And how do you look at something like this where you go, all right, they're the highest owned stack, but not by a ton. And it's a, there's 20 what do we have, 12 games? There's 23 other teams on this slate. Like, so they're not getting massive ownership compared to, in Jordan, what are we getting on the Sims? How much? Go to Cincinnati Stacks for me. Because the Sims will factor ownership and all of this stuff into it. Sort by five-man stacks. You did. Okay, so we're still, look, Matt, in the Sims, we still right now 16% Cincinnati. That's more than any other team.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. But it's not like it's whatever you were getting of Arizona in cores or stuff like that. And I think the field will be there. But I'm not worried about ownership just because they're not like that cheap. So it's not that easy to get all their good hitters. They have a 4.9% chance of being the top value. Now that also goes into how many runs they're projected to score, et cetera. So they're expensive, their best hitters. So I like that in the sense that I think it keeps ownership down a little bit. That said, they will be the highest stack on the board. Just a matter of how high owned do they actually get. I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither, but it's a good spot. And on the other side, Andrew Abbott pulling 11% ownership here. It's funny because the White Sox had scored, no joke, I think it was 16 runs through their first 10 games or something. I mean, just truly terrible, terrible production. And then you had Logan Allen come out, got blown up in the first inning by the White Sox. You had Tanner Bibee the next day come out, got tuned up pretty good. Baseball's a weird sport, but what do you make of Andrew Abbott? The strikeout stuff is down to start off the year, but we do know that he has real strikeout stuff going up against the White Sox. He is a lefty, of course, but 11% on him at 8,200. I'm a little interested.
I used to not like lefties as much against this team. Now I don't even think it matters.
I mean, I think you're right.
Roberts out, Jimenez is out. Like, the back half of this lineup is so bad. I have concerns about Abbott so far this year. He hasn't been crisp at all. Kind of like Gausman, you know, to a lesser degree. It's a spot thing for me. 8,200 against this team. Any pitcher really against this offense is going to be in play. And kind of going to a point you talked about earlier, just thinking about the Cincinnati ownership, you mentioned there aren't a lot of great pitching options, which is true. There's also not a lot of trash pitching options. So there aren't a lot of great offenses tonight either, which might make Cincinnati's ownership get higher just from looking at this slate. Like you've said it, they're in a great spot. How many other teams are in a great spot tonight?
Yeah, not a lot. Not a lot. Sean said Roberts is the only good hitter on that team. I mean, yeah, you're not entirely wrong there. Losing him is massive. But to your point, anybody, even if you're in the lineup and you get hurt and you're not great, the replacement level player coming in behind you is probably still worse. And they haven't faced a ton of lefties, only 87 plate appearances, but league high 31% strikeout rate against lefties this year. I'm with you. Abbott hasn't been sharp, but I really did think, Matt, I really expected him at 8,200 to be getting more than 10% ownership. And one of the reasons for that is when you look at some of the other guys, it's not like Max Fried has been sharp. He's getting 87. He's getting 20% at 8,700 against the Marlins team that, look, no one's saying they're world beaters, but they're not the highest. They're not a team that's going to strike out 12 times per game. Reed Detmer is another one you mentioned. Wind's blowing out. He's getting 21%. Andrew Abbott flashed a lot of upside last year. He is objectively in a better matchup than any of those other guys at the same price point. Now the question just becomes, do you trust him or not? The answer is no, don't play him. But if you think there's still something there, there's not a better matchup in that price range.
I don't even think you have to trust him to play him. Like, you're definitely talking me onto him. I think this White Sox team
is... that's an instant five-run first inning for the White Sox.
That's what it is, though. Like, I think this White Sox offense is so bad. I think even below teams like Colorado and Oakland right now, the White Sox offense is that bad. I know they got to Cleveland a little bit, but it's baseball. Like, they're going to get to teams sometimes. They might get to Abbott tonight, but I don't think it's likely. The ownership's not there. And yeah, he hasn't been crisp this year, but I'm going back to what you're referring to. There were multiple starts last year where he dropped like 35 bombs.
Yeah. He had 26% strikeout rate. AAA, the same year, last year, before they brought him up, 34% K rate. We know that exists. That's all I'm saying. It definitely exists. And if that's the case, I don't mind dabbling a little bit there. He's not missing bats, though, Matt, early on. But how much do we want to read into the beginning of a season? Like, you know, we just talked about Gausman. His velocity was down. Still have interest there in a good matchup against Colorado. Sometimes guys just start slow.
And say what you want about the Mets and Philly, Abbott's first two matchups, hell of a lot harder than the White Sox here. So, I don't think it's possible to fully trust him, but the price tag, the matchup, the lack of ownership, the lack of other great options. Like, now I'm thinking to myself, what exactly is it that I don't like about him here?
Is it just the fact that he's off to a rough start? I mean, because
outside... And I don't care that much. Yeah, it is.
That's what I mean. I know. And if he goes out and gets blown up tonight, well, then he gets blown up. But I don't know. You said it earlier. Max Fried hasn't exactly been stellar.
Let me ask you this. And I know it doesn't really matter for – this is just like our opinions. Who do you think is more likely to get blown up here, Abbott or Detmers?
Probably Detmers.
I think it's Detmers, and I don't even think it's close. Now, maybe I'm off there, but that's how I feel.
Well, you know what? Go to Vegas for a moment. Chicago has a 4-run total, 3.9 right. In some spots. Boston's at 4.7.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that isn't telling the full story, but I think it tells a lot of it. And the big thing is the ownership. Like, Detmers is double the ownership and better matchup. You have wind blowing out in Chicago, so I don't love that for Abbott, but man, I'll pick on this White Sox team any chance I can get when the ownership isn't there.
For sure. I don't love it for him either, but at the same time, if he can get the strikeouts, his strikeout props, 5.5, juice to the over. So, you know, I'm looking at 5.5, juice -160 in some spots, like Caesars, -150, 145. So, yeah. It's a spot that we shouldn't ignore, especially if you're only pulling 10% ownership against the White Sox team that since the beginning of last season strikes out more than any other team against left-handed pitching and doesn't have Luis Robert Jr., which is a massive loss to that lineup.
And I'm not playing him because of this, but there's a lot of win equity here. They're one of the biggest favorites on the entire slate, so yeah. I like that.
Do you have any interest in White Sox bats, just given the win and Abbott's struggles?
In large field tournaments, yes. The other thing about them is they're so cheap. They have a 17% chance of being the top value stack. That's not like Abbott's been safe. So if you want a roster like, I don't know, Gausman and Peralta or Yamamoto, you're going to need some cheap bats. There's other places I'd rather go, but I don't think it's the worst play in the world in large field.
Texas and Houston, Dane Dunning, JP France. You getting the pitching on either side?
Definitely not.
Yeah. I don't see the need to. The tools don't have them profiling all that well either. I'm looking at
Dunning's been good.
What's that?
Dunning has been good. And I am a believer in his stuff, but I am not picking on a team like Houston on a slate this size.
No, he's definitely been good, but in Houston, and granted, he just went out, was okay against Houston, 6 2/3, 3 innings, 7 Ks. Tampa Bay, he was pretty decent getting the strikeouts. He is cheap. I guess the only question is, like, could you use him as a pivot off of Severino or something?
I think you could. And on a slate like yesterday where we just had limited games, I think it'd be more applicable. Like, he's not bad, so I don't think he's a bad play. It's just Houston doesn't strike out. There's a lot of risk here. I think the risk for me far outweighs the reward.
How about the bats?
I like the bats in this game. I don't love them, though. As far as Houston goes, like, they're projected for a lot of leverage, and I think they're going to – another team that's in play on every slate. I respect Dunning, though. So I guess what I'll say is about Houston is the tools like them more than I thought they would going in, so probably makes me like them more than I thought I would. I like Atlanta, Cincinnati more, but I think they're right on the next level. Texas, too. France is unproven. He's had moments of being very good and moments of not being not so very good. think both these offenses are second tier high upside GPP plays.
Sure. And the only thing I'll say about Dunning is he has, despite the fact that he's getting strikeouts, he's already coughed up three home runs on the season. And I don't think that's necessarily something that he's going to sustain, but he's not it's weird because he was always kind of a ground ball pitcher that wasn't getting a ton of strikeouts. First two starts this year, ground ball rate is down, strikeout rate is out, hard contact is up considerably, 3% soft contact so far. So it does make me wonder, like, is there a second shoe that drops here with Dane Dunning and he just gets tuned up one of these days?
There easily could be. And, you know, kind of like I talked with the other pitchers earlier on in the slate, this is not a good spot for that to happen. So, yeah, you know what? Going in, I didn't think I would love Houston, but they're one of the top stacks on the board. They're one of the top leverage stacks on the board. They're expensive, but they're not expensive like teams like the Rockies, where you don't want to pay up for them. Like, you want to pay up for these guys.
Steven Matz. So there's a 4.5 and 4.8 run total for these two teams today. And from a pitching perspective, I don't know how much you're getting to Brandon Pfaadt. I don't know how much you're getting to Steven Matz. But if you were to just look at our tools specifically, Matz has one of the lowest top two probabilities, and Pfaadt has a 7% chance of being a top two pitcher on this slate. Both of them positively leveraged, but leverage can be a little bit misleading once you get that far down in the pitcher pool in a big slate.
Yeah, I just don't think you need that type of leverage. Like, yeah, they're coming in a little bit under-owned, but the goal isn't to make the most under-owned lineup. So, like, I'm with you. Like, yeah, if you want to just play them because they're not getting a lot of love, sure, but they don't stand out in any type of way. I think this game is more about the offenses. I don't think either offense is the top stack on the board, but I think both offenses look better than the pitching.
Yeah, I would say neither side's necessarily a priority, but what are the top stack odds on these teams? Let's see.
Decently high. St. Louis is right behind the Angels.
Yeah.
And then Arizona's like, it's weird that Arizona's lower than, is this one that's going to change as the day goes on? Kind of like, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago we did that show where like,
it was the Yankees.
Yeah.
When we were saying that the Yankees should be like way higher, and then when they had the update, they ended up, when we updated, they ended up being the highest stack.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's going to be anything drastic like that, but it seems odd to me that Arizona is so much lower than St. Louis. I don't know.
It is a good question. And Arizona does have a higher implied total. I wonder if it has to do with the fact that, and I don't know, but last year Brandon Pfaadt allowed north of 2 home runs per 9.
I think that has everything to do with it.
You know, kind of just having issues with home runs could be a problem here. Only 32% ground balls last season and in what, almost 100 innings pitched. Maybe it's just a power thing. You know, because Steven Matz, if nothing else, he's not bad at keeping the ball in the yard.
That's a good call. Like, I feel like the appeal of, everyone loves stacking against lefties, so that's the appeal of going against Matz, but he's not a guy that I want to go out of my way to pick on. I'd rather use some Arizona bats than him, but probably just a spot I'll stay away from. St. Louis is another one of these teams that are, like, I kind of like picking on Pfaadt because of his home run upside going against him. I struggle to want to stack the Cardinals here. Their lineup is just very mediocre, underwhelming, kind of like how it's been the past few years. Now, doesn't mean they can't have a good night tonight. Just doesn't excite me, I think is the best way to put it.
It's fair. What do you think about Jordan Wicks for the Cubs today going up against Seattle in a pitcher-friendly park? Bryce Miller on the other side of that game. I guess the question I have for you, and something that we've talked about a lot, just, you know, we've been really picking on this Mariners team with right-handed pitching, and it's worked out well for us. Some of these righties that have gone up against the Mariners recently, particularly in that Toronto series, right? Like, just mowing them down, many of them, really, really brutal. But also, you go back to the start of last year, and I'm not saying it's apples to apples, But Seattle has the highest strikeout rate in the league since last season in over 1,700 plate appearances against left-handed pitching. And I don't know, Jordan Wicks, like, what should we anticipate his strikeout rate being this year? Last year, in 34 innings, it was like 18%, or 16%. It's 30% this year, probably somewhere in between. It is a good matchup for punch outs, though.
It is. We're finally seeing a pitcher against Seattle not get ownership.
Right.
You mentioned the righties against Seattle and Toronto. Kikuchi dominated. So
Barrios, I think Wicks, Barrios too. Like, yeah, Barrios didn't have a crazy game, but I think he went six and two thirds scoreless with six Ks or something like that.
Bassett, Barrios, and Kikuchi carved them. This offense, I know that they have talent and upside here. It hasn't played out so far. And with that upside comes a lot of strikeouts. Wicks is another one of these guys. Like, we're seeing a lot of this on this slate where you don't fully trust him because we don't know what he is yet. But the ownership's not there. It's a great matchup. I put him in the Andrew Abbott bucket. Sure. I don't feel as good about him, but the ownership is even less than Abbott. So I think there's a lot to work with Wicks here. I think I like his arm. I think he's got just naturally high upside as his career and the season moves forward. Doesn't mean it's going to play out well tonight, but the lack of ownership is really what stands out to me here.
Wow, man. The Mariners, 30% strikeout rate this season. This is just lefties and righties. 30% strikeout rate. That's crazy. That offense, you mentioned, like, can they click? Sure. But highest K rate in the league, third lowest WRC plus, 80 WRC plus. Weighted on base.
Even when they're good, like, how good is this offense? I mean,
right.
I don't know.
You know what it is? They have when they're clicking, they have a nasty starting rotation.
They do. They do. And they've got Julio Rodriguez, and they brought in Polanco.
Yeah.
So it's not like their lineup is trash, but I think, again, it's too early to just say all your preconceived notions going into the season are off, but it is time to start maybe adjusting those notions a little bit.
Julio Rodriguez has struck out on a third of his plate appearances so far.
He's been awful. And he went through stretches last year where he was awful.
This team could pop off, but there's a lot of upside in pitching against them. And we just saw it with Toronto. Granted, all those guys somehow pitched remarkably well at home at the Rogers Center. But I don't see any problem with going the Wicks today. I assume we're of the same mindset that, yes, there's some risk. You don't necessarily trust him. But who did you comp him to? Abbott, right? There's upside just given the massive amounts of strikeouts in his opposition or in the opponent.
Seattle with an even lower top stack percentage than the White Sox. So yeah, I think that comparison is apt. I'm on the Wicks side more than anything in this game. I will shout out Bryce Miller too. He's too expensive, but given the lack of pitching options on this slate, he's in play.
They got some good arms in this.
Really good arms.
They really do. What's Bryce Miller's ownership right now?
About the same as Abbott, 10%. But yeah, their arms, Castillo, Bryce Miller, George Kirby, Gilbert. That is
crazy, right?
That's lethal.
And the crazy part even more so is that Kirby and Castillo haven't clicked. They haven't necessarily figured it out yet to start the season. I mean,
no, they haven't. And they also have Brian Wu, who's been hurt, and Hancock, who could be good.
If those guys are firing on all cylinders, if they're firing on all cylinders, where do you rank that rotation from top to bottom?
I think number one in baseball.
Would you put it ahead of the Dodgers?
I would. I mean, right now, the Dodgers rotation is, if you're saying fully healthy, so like Bueller, yeah. Dustin May, I mean, maybe not if all those guys are healthy, but maybe so.
I mean, yeah, even so, it's definitely top three.
Because Castillo, in my mind, is a legit number one. Uh-huh. He's not the top pitcher in baseball, but he's top 10.
And Gilbert, that guy has a ton of room to grow. I think he's going to end up being great.
Kirby, too. Like, I think all these guys are really good. So I'm with you. Like, this rotation is lethal. Their offense has just been atrocious, and their rotation has just been okay to start the season.
Yep. So yeah, the more I look at this slate, and I don't know about you guys in chat, where you're at on this, just kind of digging through it early on, taking a first look at all of this, the more I look and the more I see ownership on some of these guys, the more it draws my attention to, you know, the Abbotts and even the Bryce Millers, just given that he's actually good and pulling, you know, 10% ownership, Abbott 10% ownership. Some of these guys, just Jordan Wicks is getting no ownership in a matchup where he's got massive positive leverage. Shit, dude, you live in this mid-range taking some shots on some of these guys. Now, I will say, with a big slate like this, it's not like you're going to have any crazy chalk. But at the same time, any one of these three or four guys in this range could have a phenomenal game, pulling very little ownership.
Yeah, I think the Wicks and Abbott stand out the two most. I like Abbott slightly more, but the Wicks ownership is, that's kind of crazy to me. Like, he hasn't been great to start the year, but he's been pretty good. First two matchups at Texas and then against the Dodgers.
Yeah, right.
I think the field is too low on Wicks here.
What do you want to do with Jake Irvin and Paul Blackburn today? Washington and Oakland. I mean, two putrid offenses. And then Jake Irvin pulling, what, 16% ownership right now? Even Blackburn's getting 10% ownership.
Blackburn's been solid to start the season. Washington doesn't strike out a lot. He's in play, though, because of his price tag. Of all the guys we've talked about, I think Blackburn's probably the safest. Hate saying that because no one's safe in baseball, but you get my point, just in this matchup in this park. The Jake Irvin ownership concerns me, but at the same time, I look at this and I'm like, I have basically no interest in stacking Oakland on this slate, so why wouldn't Irvin be in play? And he is. He's got a 25% chance of being the top value pitcher on the slate. He's coming in too over-owned, but I'm not concerned about the ownership. Like, if you want to spend up and just load up on bats, I don't think Irvin is like an awful play by any means.
I don't think he's an awful play either. I just think the ownership was a little bit surprising. But Oakland stinks, man. So does Washington.
It is surprising. And sorry, I just want to say this. Like, but then you look at it, he's getting the same love as Luis Severino. So like, when you look about who's getting love on this slate, it starts to make a little more sense to me, at least.
No, for sure. Also, were you at all? Oakland has a 4.3 total. It's not like they're getting, it's not like that they're not expected to score today. Like, there's still, I guess the question just becomes, is that salary on Jake Irvin at the ownership worth it? Jordan, how
probably
much?
Not.
It might be. Jordan, are we getting a lot of Irvin in sort by pitchers? Let's actually look at this, Matt, before we get to this last game and head out. So we are getting Gausman. We are getting Detmers, by the way. And there you have it, Jake Irvin. We are getting a decent amount of him. Yeah, so, okay.
You ask if it's worth it. How I see this most likely playing out is the Oakland stack probably isn't going to get there because they're not going to hit home runs. Irvin probably goes 4 to 5 innings, you know, gives up some hits, a couple runs, and is like, okay. You know, at his salary, he's okay. And if you don't have outlier pitching options on the slate, then you might be able to make it work. But I don't think I'm trying to thread that needle so thin, you know?
Makes sense. I also don't, despite like the underwhelming arms, I don't really have any interest in bats here, though.
Yeah, I don't either. I think you can pick pieces off as one-offs because they're all cheap, but that's it.
Sure. Especially if you're paying up at pitching. San Diego and the Dodgers. Let's wrap this one up. By the way, you guys are already on DraftKings. If you have pick six in your state, it's coming to Pennsylvania. I'm actually very excited about that. Say what you want about DraftKings. You know, you don't love the fact that they limit bettors. Kind of sucks. Customer service is fantastic. Response time, I don't know about you. Super quick. But they've done some innovative stuff, and this pick six stuff is definitely innovative. because you look at the way the pick'em situations are set up across all of the other sites. In this instance, it's peer-to-peer, and the prize pools can actually be huge in spots like these. And the props, or I should say the projections, are all static. So whatever comes out early in the day is the same as it is at night. And you know how this works, guys. Like, the edge is always biggest when something is new, and then it gets figured out, right? Like, the edge in DFS was massive back in the day. The edge in all of this stuff, sports betting, everything, even when it's against the house, against the books, the edge is always biggest when it's new, and pick six is pretty damn fresh. So check it out, man. $100 deposit match. You're probably already on DraftKings, but if you have checked it out, let me know if you've enjoyed it, if you've won, because it's coming to Pennsylvania. So I've heard, potentially, maybe. And that would be pretty sweet. Anyway, San Diego and the LA Dodgers. 3.6 run implied total for San Diego, 5.1 for the Dodgers. Michael King and Yamamoto. You mentioned Yamamoto being a guy that's like a pay up to be contrarian spot here, not getting a lot of ownership at all.
No, he's not. He's not that high in our top pitcher tool either for his strikeout upside. I think it's a matchup, weather blowing out in LA tonight, and a price thing. So he's in, like, I don't know if you watched some of that Cubs start he had last week where he, I think, walked the bases loaded in the first and then proceeded to strike out the side. His stuff is insanely filthy, but he's still unproven at the major league level. So you're not going to get clean outings every time he goes out there, kind of like we saw in his first appearance against the same Padres team. The Padres are hot right now. This lineup is good. I think there's upside in Yamamoto, but probably not the spot I want to prioritize him here. I don't want to prioritize the Padres' bats either, knowing there's upside on both sides.
Also, how many pitches can this guy throw?
I don't know. It's a good question.
He threw 68 and 80. He's almost 10K. His outs recorded prop is 15 and a half, the same as Michael King. 15 and a half, you're talking what? 5 1/3 innings if he goes over? That's the only concern I have. I mean, the talent is electric. So then it just becomes like, do you pay for that price point if we don't know how deep he can pitch into these starts?
In a tough spot, probably not.
In a tough spot, yep. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I think this is one of those spots where with Michael King, though, his, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to pull it up now, but I thought his leverage score was the highest of anybody today. But that, yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. We have him 1% owned, 8% top two pitcher.
This is another one where I think why I thought that the tools might change and stuff as the day goes on. I don't see this. Like, he's been high on all of his starts, and he's a good pitcher with a good arm. But there's a reason Yamamoto is, like, lower than he normally is. Like, King should – I get it's a price thing, but in this matchup, I don't see it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either, honestly. And he's not, like, heavily discounted. When I saw the leverage, man, I was like, oh, maybe he's – 7K or 6,800, but he's not. He's $8,000 against the Dodgers.
I couldn't imagine, you know, someone who plays minimal lineups playing King here. Aside from, again, this is one where, like, if I knew nothing about baseball and I was looking at the tools, King would stand out. So there is that. I know we talked about that at the beginning. I'm just of the opinion it changes.
Do you like any bats here?
It's always the Dodgers are in play and the Padres are always in play because of their upside, but I respect pitchers enough where I'm not going to prioritize either. No.
All right, let's wrap it up with this before we go. And I appreciate you guys hanging out. You didn't hit that thumbs up yet. One subtle reminder before you go goes a long way for us. And we appreciate you subscribing and hitting that thumbs up, helping us combat the YouTube algorithm here. Favorite pitcher. And this will be fun. Favorite contrarian pitcher. Favorite stack, favorite contrarian stack.
Okay, so my favorite pitcher is Gausman. My favorite contrarian pitcher.
Is it going to be Abbott?
I think it's going to be Wicks.
Okay, I like it. Wicks, I'll go Abbott. Go Gausman and Abbott. Abbott is a contrarian pitcher.
I like both those guys. Wicks and Abbott look similar to me. On a deep contrarian play, Ryan Feltner. My favorite stack, And I don't usually pick the top stack, so I'm going to go Cincinnati with their ownership as my favorite stack. My favorite contrarian stack. I'm going to go really off the board here. Baltimore.
Okay. Baltimore, I like it. I'll go Cincinnati for sure. If we're going contrarian, just to be a little bit different here, I think I'll go Boston just based, you know, you were talking about it earlier. The wind blowing out. Good. I mean, not the best park for left-handed pitchers already. So
it's interesting. Ownership like doesn't matter on this slate because it's so spread out everywhere.
I know. I like Boston as a contrarian spot. You're right. It's definitely spread out, but just in terms of ownership right now, Boston's what, like 5%? That's like 10th or something. So yeah. And like you said, the only one really pulling ownership is Cincinnati and Toronto, and it's still not really pulling away from the pack at all. So I like it.
The other thing about Boston real quick is you're going against that Detmers ownership, which doesn't make me like them any less.
Right, for sure. Anyway, appreciate you guys hanging out live before lock tonight. NBA, huge slate. Only two NBA slates left. So be sure to hang around for, well, two NBA regular season slates. And I'm going to be, already am, jamming bets in for NBA. Odds Shopper market-based tool right now, Matt, is crushing basketball. And I think it crushed all season. The ROI was awesome. But one reason I think is it recommends so many unders because the market shades so many props to the over, especially given props. People want to bet the over. They have zero price sensitivity. They don't give a shit what they're betting. If the odds are minus 110 or minus 150, they like this guy. They're completely oblivious to that. Unders this late in the season are massive because there's so many teams that just aren't playing their guys regular rotations. Unders are crushing right now. You guys already know. Links to Odd Shopper in the description and chat. We'd love to have you over there. The Discord's always popping, but these tools, the market-based tool, just destroying basketball and home run props to start the year. So you want to join? Let's sweat some bets together, hang out. Other than that, we'll see you back here tonight. Peace.